No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's fall25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Old School? Jason Peter, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. Coming at you live, 1040 O Street, Penn State Eve, I guess. They'd be kicking off about 24 hours, 20, 25 hours from now. Always enjoy having Jason coming in because he has a unique perspective on a position group that has to play well. But before we get into that, Jason, overall, where you're at, where we're at right now after the UCLA game, what's your thoughts after, you know, seeing Latif and then obviously them going into the bye week, and what's your expectations for Latif and the team coming out of the bye week?
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting, I think, because last time they had a bye week was before Minnesota, right? And they clearly were not ready to play that game.
Was it between Michigan and Michigan State?
It was after Michigan.
Oh, it was after Michigan, before Michigan State.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
All right, so I take that back. It will be interesting to see how they come out of the bye week, knowing that they got to have these two wins in order to sacrifice this season somewhat, you know, I think that's the only way, because even with Penn State being down, they still have some dudes on that team.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, say what you want about Franklin. I mean, he built an NFL pipeline there,
yeah,
maybe arguably as good as anybody's.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
So they've got some dudes. You got to feel good, you know, after the UCLA game in terms of the offense and Latif. You know, now there's film on them, so that changes things a little bit. You got to be excited. They got their work cut out, though, because the things that Penn State does well, we do poorly.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And on the opposite side of the ball. Those are the things I'm most concerned about. Obviously, the offensive line, Penn State, they got some dudes there. They can move guys. They got two really good running backs.
Right.
You know, defensively, they got good edge guys. That's our Achilles heel on offense. And you know how, I mean, one good pass rusher can completely changed the way that a game's going to unfold.
Yeah, and especially if you don't adjust. And we're going to dive. You brought up some good points, but I want to go back to the bye week because I don't think people really understand how important the bye week is. Yes, you want to get healthy. You want to get rejuvenated. Yeah, you need some time off and rest or whatever. And obviously, we weren't ever able to go back to Jersey or Minnesota. Right. We kind of just been able to stay in our apartments wherever we lived. But talk about the importance of the bye week when you're trying to – now, we were playing for national championships, but when you're trying to finish a season strong, how important the bye week – because I think it's crucial. This one is the most crucial because you see the light at the end of the tunnel, but you see some – I call Penn State a helmet sticker game. Yeah. You know, it's a one you put on there like we beat Penn State no matter what. Talk about how important it is how you attack the bye week, but then also for this team, how you come out of the bye week.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for us, the bye weeks were always about getting back to fundamentals, you know, and that's something, especially as you're getting towards the end of the season here. And like you said, guys are starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's things almost done. Well, then kind of the little things can kind of fall by the wayside unless they're a focus during that week of practice. And I think you got to be physical during the week. I think it's a limited one, but there's got to be times where you're still cranking it up, especially for our offense with a new quarterback in there. You know, there's just different timing to everything. The rhythm's a little different, and you just want to be able to build on what you did, you know, a couple weeks ago at UCLA. Right. But you know, on a defensive side of point of view, it's about tackling, it's about angles, you know, all that stuff. So you can't go so soft during the bye week. You know, you can back off of them in terms of the total amount of, say, plays or reps that you're asking them to do, but there still has to be high quality reps in there.
Yeah, it's because it's huge because you got to do self scouting, so you have to have that prepared before you step back out on the practice field, and then you have some humility. Okay, this is what we're not doing well, and then we actively have to go fix it, because talking about it isn't going to do anything because that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But you actively have to address it, and it's hard conversations, but it's group to group. And obviously, you know, one side of the ball to the other is huge. And for when you're playing against a team and essentially back to back teams that are going to try to run it down your face, you got to get those things. And it's more, and another thing they have to do is make sure that I think the bye week is crucial to be physical because it gets your mind right.
Yeah.
Because this is a different physical team than UCLA.
Than really anything that they've seen, I think.
And Iowa, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you got maybe a little bit of it kind of from Michigan, you know, where they could kind of line up and play a little bully ball. But, you know, they also were coming in. They had a true freshman quarterback. Yeah. They had a backup head coach. You know, they had a couple true freshmen that were just getting the nod at corners. I think and you know, you look at Penn State, obviously highly disappointing season for them, but it seems like they've kind of rallied around this coach, right? It seems like they like him. They're calling for a whiteout. You got senior day. They're still trying to make it to a bowl. So they've got things on the line as well. And maybe you could say their fight, you know, to get those goals could be greater, because what is our fight, right? Like, we're already going bowling. Now it's just a matter of, you know, it's
which
like self-respect, right? Like, do you want to finish 7-5 or do you want to finish 9-3?
Right.
You know, big difference there. You're going to see, I guess, what, you know, our kids are made of.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting just because, you know, you go out there and you played some road games and, you know, you mentioned the Minnesota game. And Penn State's kind of like Minnesota right now where – how they play, they got to play it tight to the vest. You know, they're going to be physical. You know, they're going to try to run it. And their defense is, even though Penn State's defense, I think, is more talented than Minnesota, that night, Minnesota's defense looked like the dang Texans from last night.
Yeah.
So you better get off that plane, you know, ready for a dogfight.
Yeah. And I think that the one big difference in those two games is that Minnesota clearly was down on talent this year. Right.
Yeah, like,
compared to what they have been. Right. UCLA, I mean, Penn State, they might still have, you know, a first rounder or two. You know, they may have 7, 8, 9 guys drafted off of this team. So yeah, Minnesota is not going to have that. So yeah, they better be ready to go. I think it's a perfect, I know there was some bitching at the start of the week about, having to play a night game and then, follow that up with a short week. And it's like, and I know Rule was saying, hey, we're going to embrace this thing.
Right.
Kind of looked like a little tongue in cheek, like, oh yeah, I'm not mad at the conference, but clearly he was. But when you play the schedule that we've played all year, you don't get to bitch about anything.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it. You know right. what I mean? Like, this is like the one tough thing that maybe has been asked of you in terms of a scheduling issue.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear Nebraska fans complain about that. Let's stop. The refs screw us. The conference screws us. Maybe if we get rid of that sort of mentality,
right,
then the kids don't hear it as well, right?
Sure. Like, yeah, right, yeah.
Because they can buy into that stuff too. You know what I mean? Anything that's being said on social media is something that the kids are potentially going to see and most likely do see. So when they feel like, oh, yeah, everybody's right, we're getting screwed by the refs, that's why we're not winning. No, you ain't winning because you ain't making enough plays at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that earlier. I think the biggest thing, especially for a young team, like you have to be purposeful in not even mentioning that in your like in your facility.
Yeah,
it's got to almost be like, like locking down the whole place, like, shut down everybody's phone and all that, just because, when you're playing these two games, and sure, we've done this in the NFL, and where you play Sunday and you play Thursday, or whatever, and that's tough. But my thing is, like, you're getting paid for it now.
Right.
Like, me and you were, right about now, I'm going to tell people right now, and this is funny, we'll get off a little bit off the subject. Listen, about Thanksgiving, it's my favorite holiday, but it is not when you're in college. When we were here, your scholarship checks was light.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
We weren't getting much anyways, but it was really light,
because
of the short month. And so these guys are getting well compensated for it. So you got to be able to answer the bell. Then also, I think if you really look at it as a challenge, you get more out of it.
Yeah,
we got the short end of the stick, but we did what we had to do, and we won both the games.
Yeah, and have some pride on your toughness and your mental strength. You know what I mean? Like, don't cave to that. Big deal. You're short one day.
Yeah.
You know what? And truth be told, if the one day was so important, then you would continue to gain that extra day during the week in the way that you set up practice, right? Like, for example, T.O. set it up where we played the game on Saturday. We had off completely on Sunday. Unless you needed treatment, you could go in and get it, right? Then Monday, we were back in half pads.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
oh.
Right.
I forgot.
I know. Yeah. I'm just going through for the listeners here, as compared to the way that, say, Coach Rule does it, and not just him, but a lot of guys do it. I think the previous three or four guys maybe even did the same way.
Yeah.
Where then they had a mandatory like light run and jog on Sunday, gave them off on Monday. Then you come back on Tuesday, which is normally for us, it was a full, that was a live day. Do you know what I mean? But you're not bringing them back to go live the first day back on the practice
field. Right.
We had Monday to at least get somewhat warmed up, the bodies.
Yeah.
So you lose basically 13 practices and during the course of a year.
Right.
So you don't get the bitch about one that you're missing. There are things that you could do ultimately to
counteract that.
Yeah.
And you can switch it week by
week.
Absolutely. And I think our Monday practices, I think with Coach Osborne, they weren't as long.
Right.
But we still.
Oh,
we got after it, though.
Offensive linemen weren't allowed to cut. Yeah. Everything was up high. But, that was like our thud day.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, it was heavy cardio day, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Where we did two or three gasses after practice and stuff like that. So yeah, they're going to have to, really, really handle themselves up front. And I know you watch Penn State offensive line. They're big, right? They're kind of engulfers.
Yeah.
Now, does that work to Nebraska's advantage? Because I felt like USC's offensive line was, they were still kind of, they were big, but they were athletic as heck. So they can get up on me quick as a linebacker. They can kind of, scoop block you. you know, a little bit easier because they're quicker off the ball, where these guys are just kind of coming out like the old, like Baltimore Ravens, where, you know, you just got to be able to hold point against them. Does that bode well for a younger defensive line, or is it harder just because of how big they are?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're, like you said, they're big and athletic. I mean, they're going to run a lot of power. They're going to run zone. They're going to run toss. They like it all. So this is a game, honestly. It's going to be Nebraska's front seven. We'll decide whether or not we win this game. If they're able to hang with it, you know. It's not that I think the quarterback is that great. Obviously, he's their backup as well. I think in the last couple of weeks, he's played a little bit better. But, you know, back to the offensive line, you know, that's things when you got guys that can ultimately block you, you know, either way and scooping you and or down blocks coming. I mean, you're going to see the whole realm of, like, offensive line play. Yeah. So this is great for the D-line, the fact that they had a bye week leading up to this, because, you know, sometimes you're playing a lot of games where, you know, especially now with the RPOs and everything like that, and you know, sometimes you don't see as many teams run those kind of traditional you know, running plays, and there's a technique for every single one of them, you know, on how to play, you know, difference between toss and power and counter, and you know, it will depend on how much Butler wants, you know, them to get upfield, you know, that sort of thing. Like, if you get upfield, you got to be able to get flat once you get through, you penetrate. You know, you can't just keep running straight up the field because the running back's already on a different level than you, and you'll be late to that play. But, yeah, they all need to play well up front and have some sort of gap integrity, right? Like, you got to, like, make it easy on all front seven. You know what I mean? Like, be defined in what gap you're playing, or you know what I mean? Your responsibility.
Yeah, I think it's going to be huge for the front seven to play consistently. Yeah. I think the biggest thing that I want to see this defense do is be invested into being physical, like, the whole game. Yeah. And then once you do that, then you get in to make sure, you know, especially at linebacker, make sure your pads are square, because it makes it harder for the offensive line to, like, move you, right? Yeah. Don't play on an edge against these guys, because they just lean on you and they'll move you from O Street down to, you know, P Street.
Yep.
And then also it was a good point that you brought up gap integrity, because even if we're in a 7-man front and we do our job, if we do our job and the gap is defined, that means the safety or nickel can make an easier tackle.
Right.
You know, it's a hard thing to ask for somebody to come from 12, 15 yards deep. And it looks like he's supposed to fill in the B gap. Then the next thing you know, it's the A gap. And then next thing you know, you know, he's, you know, caught in no man's land. That's how I think it hurt him against, you know, Michigan, where they had the kind of the right defense called, but it was not really defined.
Right.
If they really worked on that in the bye week, they'll do a good job. Michigan State did a pretty decent job against their run game. Yep. We saw your boy Raekwon Buckley.
Yeah, playing. I know. Yeah, Rue's playing.
Yeah.
Rue's playing.
Yeah, he's playing. And so, you know, but the one thing I saw from Michigan State versus when they played us is that they're rotating more guys up front. Right. But the one thing that stood out on the tape was they played with extension and up front.
Yep.
And so they were able to, even though they weren't as big as those guys up front, they were able to make plays and limit the explosive run plays.
Yeah, especially when you're playing any kind of zone team, you know, because that back is just looking to cut back somewhere. You know, and you can think as a defensive lineman, oh my gosh, I'm playing this thing great, right? I know where the ball's going to run, so I'm just going to get off this block and go make this play. Next thing you know, the running back has already started his cutback.
Right
now, you're in perfect position for that offensive lineman just to keep pushing you, you know, towards the boundary. And that running back's going to be, boom, he's going to hit that hole. And you better hope, you know, the linebacker's there, the safety's there. So, yeah, that's, you know, like you're talking about having extension. Yeah, you got to be able to play both ways. Once you got that lockout, right, now you got to kind of, you know, play with it. You either got to get rid of them quick, you know, or you got to stand in there and fight pressure with pressure, and then, you know, ultimately just wait for the boys to come.
Let's flip to the Penn State side real quick defensively, because their defensive end, number 33, Sutton, is, I mean, he's a dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
– Oh, yeah.
He's every game he makes plays. and you played with some really good pass rushers. You were a good pass rusher yourself. Talk about when an offense can keep you off balance by either shifting the formation or kind of, I call it ghost blocking, acting like they're going to cut, you know, cut you and then go to the flat. Talk about how important it is for Nebraska to do that against them, because I think if they just line up and just wave their hand and say, we're pass blocking, you know, 33 could have a big game.
So for Nebraska, they need
offense
to
confuse them.
Well, I mean, especially with him, I think you're going to have to bring some guys in motion and maybe, you know, try to chip on certain routes. You know, I know we don't ever really get in the eye, but they're going to need to figure out a way. And I know that even though they want to be, you know, 4 and 5 wide all the time, like you got to figure out a way, because 33 will change the game before you know it, you know, like, and our tackles have not been good, you know, in a lot of pass protecting when you have a, when the other team has had a good rush end. Now they've hung in there, you know, against average guys, but when there's a sort of next level guy, and 33 is he's the next level kind of guy. It's created problems. So they need to do as much as they can, kind of even just bringing, like you said, the receiver in motion. Cause now that defensive end's got to think, okay, is this dude going to crack me?
Yeah.
Like, so now he's got one eye kind of, you know, looking at the boundary, and the other one's still trying to, you know, look at the ball, but it's just enough to take a little bit off of, you know, his get off or what exactly he wanted to do.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, when teams flip the format, even as a linebacker, you know, because they have a pretty good, pretty aggressive linebacker core. They, you know, they do a lot of run blitzes and they try to hit the snap, you know, right on time. When you flip the formation, any type of motion, it just brings hesitation. Because even as a defensive tackle, you know, there's times if I had to change the strength, you had to go from right to left.
Yeah,
it's a good way to keep them off balance. And sometimes you can go right to left and just run it back where you originally were going to go. And so, therefore, you're creating some dissension in the ranks. They're going to have to do a good job keeping that defensive front off schedule. Because, if you know, the worst thing you can do against any defensive line, and you know this, is probably just line up,
right?
Because then it's, you know, your quarterback's going to be in for a long day.
You got to have some movement back there. D linemen, not the smartest guys on the field, so any sort of confusion, you know, it always would get me, especially at the next level, because, you know, in college, well, I was playing D tackle in college, so it was different. You know, Charlie never really wanted us focusing on whether a back, you know, once we put our hand down, it's hard to see anyway. But at defensive end position, now it's different because you might have to cover that guy on a wheel route or something. So had to know more about, you know, formations and when, you know, backs are switching, you know, to the opposite side and stuff like that. But yeah, I guess maybe that's why I enjoyed defensive tackle more, thinking.
Real quick, did you enjoy when we ran, like, some of our fire zones? Austin was asking me about that when we got to the pros. We'd already kind of ran a lot of that stuff. Did you – because you guys – here's what people don't understand. When the defensive tackles used to drop, you guys swore you guys were linebackers.
We loved every minute of that. I mean, you know, you as a big guy, you – kind of get tired of being labeled a big guy, like you're almost unathletic, you can't do things. So when we started running those fire blitzes, and being able to, you know, line up in a three technique and then drop, that was fun, because basically
no one plans for hair loss, but through Hims you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
But then you're just looking for, you know, to a tight end or a wide receiver coming across in that shallow, you know, underneath area and just boom, be able to take him out. Not as much fun as when you're a defensive end and you're trying to, you know, cover
route,
Emmett Johnson or Emmett Smith or somebody, you know, running down the boundary. Yeah.
Yeah. It was always funny to see Grant, you know, he tried to backpedal and stuff. Right. I was like, bro, you need to go forward. You know, this ain't it. But it was always a good.
He got the one pick against Michigan State in 96, I think, in Memorial Stadium. Yeah. I think that might have been some sort of.
It was ESPN. Remember? Yeah, it was dropping. He was going to the fire zone. They tried to cut him.
Yeah.
You know, he caught it pretty good because he always had busted up fingers. So, anyways, we're going to take a quick break, come back. Jason Peter, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back, Jay Foreman, Jason Peter, Austin Orman. We need to have like a would it be a reality show that you just go up, like in between segments?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know what that would be.
Dangerous.
It'd be funny though. It'd get a lot of views or something, right?
Where's Penn State going with their job?
That's what I was just about to ask you about.
Yeah.
Okay, so Penn State now. Okay, so when they first fired James Franklin, they was like, that's the job.
Right.
Now, when's the last time we ever talked about Penn State?
It is at the bottom of the job opening
list. Right. Like, does anybody care right now?
Nope.
So imagine if you're from the East Coast, right? And you know James Franklin ran the East Coast as far as recruiting in Jersey and everywhere. He's at Virginia Tech. Like, Penn State's not even on anybody's radar now, or what do you think?
I mean, you got to figure that. You still have Florida and LSU that are definitely above Penn State. You have Auburn above Penn State. Arkansas, which is just as probably just as good, right, in terms of resources and everything. Right. Am I missing any? And then if Lane leaves, then, like you said, you know, Ole Miss is going to open up as well, which probably would be considered at this moment a better job. Penn State dropped the ball. I mean, when this whole thing went down, we were saying, you know, even when talking about Rule, if he would have taken the job or if he was in line with the job, like, you got to do it now.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like, you got to do it. Like, this is your advantage here. You're the first big boy that's fired their coach.
Right.
And so you've got options now. But once everybody else starts firing, then you never know who's going to fire their coach. And, you know, anytime. You know, those SEC schools start.
Yeah, definitely out of the news cycle. I wonder if you never know, but if you eventually can connect the dots on who they were going after, right? Cignetti re-upped at Indiana, and he was like, oh, we can get him. Yeah. He's like, nah, I'm cool right where I'm at. Then even with the SMU coach?
Rhett Lashley.
Lashley, whose teams are not even ranked. He got a 5 or 6 year extension or something like that.
Yeah.
So now it's like, okay, you got, you know, Austin read the names. It's everybody underneath the sun.
Right.
And all of them would be starting. Now, the only two that would be somewhat, not even somewhat, would be, you know, I mean, Pat Fitzgerald fits it.
Yeah.
But he's got that. You know, who knows if you can even get that through whatever. Or was it Brett Key from Georgia Tech?
Yeah.
I mean, besides that, it's right. like Brian Hartline.
I know.
And, you know.
Yeah, I don't know where the hell they go with this search. And then, you know, are they going to be interested in looking at NFL guys? I don't know. You know, like, that's kind of got a bad taste to it right now after Belichick has come back. Chip Kelly, or no, well, Chip went the other way, Chip, right?
Yeah.
But I think there have been some other guys, you know, that have come down and not had great success recently. So I don't know. I told you I like that guy from Detroit. I heard him speak, the black dude who's got the dreads.
Oh, a Shepherd. Yeah.
Shepherd.
Yeah.
I listened to him speak, at least for the LSU. Is he a long?
He played linebacker there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was impressive when I listened to him speak. But yeah, for Penn State, I mean, I don't know. Does this thing not get done now until, you know, like past the new year? I mean, you're waiting for some of these other schools now to hire their guys.
Yeah. I mean, what's your opinion if they wait to, well, first of all, the signing period is when, Austin?
Signing period starts on the 3rd of December.
Yeah. So,
they got to have it done before that.
It's got to be right after the Rutgers.
Yeah.
If that, or do you think they already have their guy and then they're just waiting? But here's what I'll say this before you answer. Whoever they have ain't winning.
Right.
So,
or has been out of football.
Right. And I mean, the only way that you could really turn the college football upside down if you hire Urban Meyer.
Right.
But that's, I mean.
I was thinking more about the Gruden thing. Don't you think Gruden is just more, he's built for the SEC.
He's more, right? He's more SEC type. And they can.
Kind of lane before lane.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And they would, he'll get into like an Auburn. They'll love that for a little while.
I saw something today. Now maybe even Texas is thinking, you know, like, they're not going to get rid of Sark, right? Like,
they just came out and said Sark isn't leaving.
Well, Sark's agent was the one that leaked his interest in the Titans job.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But then, he kind of put his foot in his own mouth, right, with that one comment that he made as in his first year saying, hey, if we're in year four and I got three or four losses, then we've got an issue. Well, you're in year four.
And you got three losses. Yeah. And you're on, and you know you play Texas A&M. They play Texas A&M. Yeah, so you're on your way to four. You might be five. You lose your bowl game.
Isn't that proof right there? Like, I mean, they spend more than anybody, right?
Yeah.
It's not just about spending money.
Right.
You have to have some sort of development going on in your program.
Yeah, I think people think that you, like, there's, well, first of all, I was trying to tell you, like, there's not a lot of really good to great football players out there just walking around.
Right.
Right. In college, 18 to 22 years old. That are guys that are really football players.
Right.
So if you're just out throwing out money, you can't buy a team. This isn't like the Blue Chips movie when you could, you know, go get five, you know, NBA basketball players. Right. You got to get to have a good team. What do you think, Jason? To have a good, like a college football playoff team. So you're going to make the top 12, so top 11. You have to have 40 guys that are real deal, right?
That are dogs that I can play.
Yeah, 40, right? Yeah. At least because you got the three specialists.
Yeah.
So now you're, you know, 37, 38 guys.
You need a couple backups at every position that you can count on to go in.
That should be starting, but the guy ahead of him is a little bit better.
Yeah.
And you don't get there. You don't get those 30 guys or 38 guys or 40 or even to say it's 44 guys, you know, out of 105 that are go. You don't get that just by talking to them for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And so that's where you're in, you know, where Penn State, when you look at it, if they don't, I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They got their guy that they're, I'm hoping for them.
Right.
Because if they don't, they're done.
I know,
because what I think it was also crazy with the fan base and that, you got to think, me and Austin, I want your opinion. We were talking about it. Okay. The Joe Paterno thing, whatever people feel like that, but you almost were on like the death penalty.
Right.
Right. Yep. So then you hit it out of the ballpark and had Bill O'Brien come in that got it going. And then James Franklin took it and took it to the outer space.
Yeah.
So you really hit the lottery twice. Yeah. You're not going to hit it three times.
No, and they were doing it while Miami was kind of down. So that whole East Coast, that Northeast area, you know, the New Jersey, Pennsylvania, all that stuff. Like, yeah, obviously there'll be Pennsylvania kids that will always kind of look at Penn State as like Nebraska kids do for Nebraska. Sure. But if Miami is humming, you know, or they got something going, and Cristobal, I mean, even though they've had two disappointing losses, I think this year, I think people still feel confident that Cristobal is going to have a winner there, right? So now you're dealing with, you know, Miami, because Miami likes to come up there in that Northeast, and they like to recruit up there. So it's one thing doing it when Miami's down, but when you have, you know, Miami that's strong now, you better not, if you are Penn State, because Penn State normally is like the school in that tri-state area. Right. But if you have, if you're struggling, then, and you let Miami get a foothold on that region, then you're in big trouble.
Yeah. Cause I mean, now Ohio State's close. Indiana's probably going to come recruit some of those kids.
Yeah. I mean, everybody recruits nationally,
but they'll start to get them versus, and, also, one of the jobs that we didn't talk about that potentially could be open is Florida State.
Yeah.
So now
that's got to be coming, right? That's got to be. How many years he have left on
it? Norvell's been better than Fickell, and he costs more.
Yeah.
Another
year.
He's another back. Year, though.
And, right? and they're giving him more NIL.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on Luke Fickell?
I don't know a ton about him. I know he was a name that was brought up when we were talking coaches here. I mean, he did a good job at Cincinnati.
Right.
I kind of vaguely remember him as a player. He played D tackle, right? Him and Vrabel were together.
Yeah.
I haven't watched a ton of Wisconsin football this year. Truth be told, I just, you know, since they're not really on our schedule, I just didn't watch a ton of them this year. It sounds like, obviously, what's his name? The AD or the Alvarez likes him, right?
Yeah.
Like, so he's come out and Alvarez doesn't like it when, you know, people venture too far off of the old school way.
Yeah.
You know, and I think people are obviously now venturing off, and it's so easy to turn on your guy after a year or two years now. And I just think that he, obviously being a former coach, former player, he understands everything and probably feels like, you know, I'm sure he had a ton of influence on him landing there, right? But I don't know. You like him as a coach?
I think he's a good coach. I think his idea of what he was going to do was good.
Yeah.
The problem is you don't have the guys.
Right.
I think what he was in theory, like what he envisioned was potentially going to be what could take Wisconsin to the next level.
Right.
The problem is it became a free-for-all for NIL. Yeah. They didn't have any backing. They didn't change their entrance academic standards. Yep. So then now you can't get those fringe players. And it didn't work out. And you kind of ran through a couple offensive coordinators. And every year, their quarterback got hurt.
Right.
So then, you know, you're really just, you know, fighting an uphill battle.
I don't even know why academics is part of the equation anymore. Right. I mean, these kids literally don't go to school. If anything, they take a few Skype classes or something like that. But like, who are we kidding? Like these kids are strictly coming for, you know, who's giving them the biggest bag.
Yeah.
Why do we even have academics as a requirement, you know,
especially like, for athletes?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, just call it what it is. This is pro semi-pro sports.
Yeah. And you need to attend the online classes so we can babysit you or something. Give you, they just need certificates now. What's your certificate in?
Yeah.
You know, I think Luke Fickell will be all right, but we'll see how it goes. And then Norvell, I think it's a financial thing. I don't know if Florida State can afford to fire him and the staff. Because you got to think, you brought Tony White and all those guys. They probably had 2 or 3 year contracts.
I mean, Tony had to have been getting close to $2 million a year, right?
And it was probably more than 2 years, probably 3 years, you know. So I think that's where he'll get one more year and see where that goes. So that's when you think about Penn State. If they don't, like I said, for them, I'll just assume that they had everything buttoned up and they had their guy and they've had him for a while and they're just waiting for the press release. But if they don't, you might as well forget it.
Right.
It's going to be the ghost of Byron Frank or Jane Franklin. Yeah.
And then you're ultimately going to hire someone that you're not in love with, and it's just going to start this cycle.
Yeah. And as college football is starting to increase the parity and expand, it's the worst place to be in.
Right.
You know, and especially with us, we know. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We're going to ask Jason about the West Side Millard South game, because you were there last week. Get your thoughts on some of the Nebraska talent and how good both those teams were last week. Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, Jason Peter, we'll be right back.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Norman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Jason Peter. Quick segment here before we send you guys off to the, I guess, Friday night, and then obviously to the weekend.
Where did you send people off to?
Oh, the corner three.
Yeah.
Against your boy Bigelow.
Yeah.
Big game is there, man. That dude is the ether man. He went out with a bang. You know, did you know Bigelow?
No.
Yeah. He made his exit from Twitter and just blasted everybody that he had a problem with before he left.
He's a Lincoln guy, or
he's an Omaha guy. He's an Omaha guy.
Yeah. Bigelow.
Yeah. He's
Does he have a first name, or he's just like Madonna? Like
he's just Bigelow.
Yeah, just called
Bigelow. Big game Bigelow.
Big game Bigelow.
And he talks a lot about Husker football, or just
he's Jay Foreman would say, he's a can man. Yeah. Everybody can.
He gave everybody the business, and he's like, all right, I'm done. And went now he's resurfaced. But Jason, you were up at Westside last week with Millard South going against Westside, kind of a state championship in the semifinal.
Yeah.
Both teams stocked with big-time Division I talent, both in 26 and 27. Give your overall thoughts of what you saw, because, I mean, obviously Millard South got after Westside, and Westside's a pretty good team in itself.
Yeah, it was impressive to see all the talent on the field, and obviously they both have kids going Division One, but you could tell even between those two schools. I mean, Millard South out there, they just like they didn't have like the way I explained it to you, I was like, there wasn't like a 5'10", 175-pound guard on their all line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there wasn't any sort of weak link. Like the D line had all kind of guys that were probably at least 240 and up.
Yeah.
The ends were probably at least 220, 230.
Yeah.
Solid, maybe bigger. There was just no visible weaknesses that you could be like, okay, well, Westside should attack that guy. It was impressive. And I mean, it was, I don't know what the final score was. We left like it was an old Nebraska game, third quarter.
Yeah.
Because it was just getting out of hand.
Right.
I mean, they just, Westside didn't have an answer for him.
Yeah. I mean, you saw the quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, what'd you think of him?
He threw some dimes in there. I mean, and they were not, like kind of corner routes in the end zone, from like 30 or 40 where he had to, he dropped it in there. Nice. I mean, he threw a lot of good balls. He was impressive. I was not expecting that sort of play, I guess. I don't know why I wasn't. But he was impressive. He had total control of that offense. He throws a really good ball, really accurate. You would have hoped that he would have had some conversations with Nebraska at some point.
Yeah, he's going to Bama. Jet Tamala, his dad, I think, was a hooper, but he's athletic too. He's a big kid though too.
Yeah,
6'4", 6'5".
I was expecting like a skinny kid.
And yeah, he's not.
No. He's thick.
Thick, yeah. And they had the big tight end going to Missouri, and then they got a lineman going to Illinois, and Marion Jackson going to Iowa State. He's number one, and
he was good.
Yeah, and then the running back, going to Illinois, Wheeler. They're stacked, and then Westside, they got Woo Woo's son and Jamel's son.
Now, is he a junior?
Yeah.
So he's got another year.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be good for him.
And they got a good running back too.
Yeah,
little dude.
Yeah,
yeah, he can play though. He runs big.
The most glaring, I guess, mismatch was just on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
you know, whereas not that Westside's bad; they're better than 99% of the other high schools in the state.
Yeah.
But against Millard South, it was just, you know, the 210-pound guy or 215, yeah, just, you know, playing against 270-pound guard or whatever. Right. It just was there were some mismatches in there.
Yeah, it's a pretty talented game. And
so who do they have now?
They play Creighton Prep,
Creighton, which barely kind of just got by.
Papio South.
No, they played Papillion South. Yeah, okay, Papillion, okay. La Vista South, who was kind of an upstart, right? They got some good talent, too, and they'll be competitive. One thing about those Omaha kids, they all know each other. But, I mean, obviously, Miller South probably –
Is the kid that's coaching Millard South, is he from Nebraska?
Yeah, he's the new coach now. The coach that was there last year moved back to Arizona, uh-huh, and coaches kind of one of those like bigger time schools now.
Chandler, big time one.
Chandler, yeah.
Yeah.
But this guy, I think he came over from Papillion, La Vista, okay, I think, or one of those schools, and just kind of rinse and repeat.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, not to get all back into that whole, you know, should they recruit or should they not? Obviously, they're doing whatever the rules allow for them to do in some regard. Yeah. You know, taking advantage of those gray areas.
Yeah. I mean, they got kids coming in from out of state, and it's obviously working out because, you know, I will say this before we go. Those Millard South kids, the core of them, they've all had a plan that's what they wanted to do. They went and they traveled around the country and they played for, you know, kind of a national championship, you know.
And they've been doing it since they were kids, right?
Yeah, and like, they've been going to
this wasn't just, you know, last winter they decided.
This has been since like fourth grade. The majority of those guys have been going around to Oklahoma and playing teams and kind of getting prepared for it. Yeah. So it's good to see that, you know, whether you like it, love it, or hate it, they definitely put in the work the old school way to get it. So, anyways, once again, old school, Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, JP. We'll holler at you next week. We don't. Happy Thanksgiving as well.
Yeah.
And obviously, hopefully, the Huskers win.
We'll talk to you tomorrow, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got a pregame show. So we'll holler at you tomorrow.